Welcome to June's Library Chat, the monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I'm Sarah Williford, Library Director, and here with me today for our episode are some familiar voices if you listen to our library podcasts. We have Denise Bean, our Youth Services Librarian.
Great to be here.
Leslie Heinzer, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
Tyler Sweat, our Accessible Media Specialist.
Hey.
We also have a very special guest with us today, Director of the Iowa Department for the Blind, Emily Wharton. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Thanks for joining us for our library chat. We were just telling Emily that this is literally a chat about about topics and books and podcasts. So,
well, I love to chat about books and podcasts, so I'm very excited.
You're in the right place.
Yes.
And that's what I was just going to say, is we really wanted to have Emily as a guest on our Library Chat podcast for several reasons. She reads all types of books, listens to all types of podcasts, and because we always have fun and great conversations. So, glad to have you. So, our topic was an easy one to pick because we decided to focus on humor. And during our discussion about the topic the other day on humor, Leslie and I decided to focus our book list that we talk about on comedians, comedy, and a bit of humor in there. So that is what our book list will be composed of. I think I say this every podcast, but the book list that we've come up with is only a tiny number of titles we have in our collection around comedians, comedy, and humor. And the list we have today is focused probably more on comedians and or actors, actresses, stories, and biographies. So, but before I get to our book list on our topic, I have a couple comments and questions for all of you. So during our discussion about the topic and book list, someone made the comment about how different each of our sense of humors, our humor are. And so I thought we might want to just take a minute to talk about that, because I believe somebody said, you know, one of us has a dry sense of humor. One of us drips with sarcasm.
Yeah, I don't know who that is either, actually, Sarah. I'm not sure.
I don't know, Denise. After that, it might be you.
It's possible.
So my question around just kind of different senses of humor is, do you see that reflected in what you read, listen to, or watch? Or do you gravitate maybe in a different way, type of sense of humor?
Yeah, no, I would say it definitely affects. Really dry, really crass, poop and fart jokes. Anything along that stretch of...
My 11-year-old would love you.
Absolutely. So I think, yeah. I mean, I don't read a lot of comedy books, but the ones I do are really dry. Like, super dry.
I found that I read a lot of, like, women comedy books, like writers like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, Amy Schumer. But yeah, dry sense of humor as well, I think, for me.
I like Amy Schumer because her sarcastic. I mean, no, she's so pure and real, and you don't second guess what she's thinking or her whole philosophy of life. And I just love that. Maybe it's because I wish I could be more like that, but I do like Amy and Tina Fey.
I love all of those, and I also really like all things British. And so British comedy, particularly in podcasts, but and then going back to the Douglas Adams, but British stand-up and that kind of thing. I just, the full gamut. I'll go from Chelsea Handler to, the more refined. I just love to laugh regardless.
British comedy is definitely its own thing, too.
It is so different.
Yeah. Like, it is.
Hey, it wrapped up in even how they talk.
It's something. I feel like you either love it or you're like, I never want to listen to anything British comedy ever again. Like,
you know, how old is British comedy? That's a pretty old comedy, isn't it? I think I used to watch that on my black and white TV, so 9-inch TV in my bedroom, because it would come in. Is it like older? Monty Python.
Monty Python would be like Monty original.
Is that the original?
That would be like one of the early ones, but.
Yes, I like that too.
So is humor something that you look for when you are picking out a book? Or not so often?
Not so often for me. I kind of go, like, I read, like, a... I listen to a lot of nonfiction in my car and stuff, and so I like to go... I alternate, like, funny and then depressing, funny, depressing.
It's always good when you're learning. I always like the motivational or the lessons learned or that type of... I like that kind of
thing. Mine solely depends on the author. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, because I read a lot of nonfiction, but if it's, I won't just read a comedy book to read a comedy book. Mm-hmm. It has to be, like, the person writing it.
I agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of mysteries, and I'm always a little bit excited when there's that bit of humor. So, like, the Stephanie Plum.
Yeah.
Those, just with those, like, it always seems to be, like, the background characters who are, like, the funniest. So, like, the grandma or, you know, the uncle who adds that piece. I always enjoy that when it's thrown into my mysteries. A little bit of comedy.
I'll seek out biographies of comedians, like the Amy Poehler book, or if there's a new Chelsea Handler, or, you know, and, you know, I do read a lot of nonfiction, a lot of, I'm a leadership book junkie, but I admit, but I really, it's nice to break it up with funny things. Just, I was going through these leadership books, and somehow Steve Martin's book that was like a mock leadership book popped up, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is so refreshing.
Well, on our list, we have, I know Amy Poehler was mentioned, so Yes, Please was on our list, just describing her growing up in Massachusetts and development of her improv skills in Chicago, show business, divorce, and personal and professional relationships. And I listened to this one, and it's her reading, and Seth Meyer, right?
Yeah.
Anybody else listen? He did a piece in there.
He did a chapter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Tina Fey was also on our list, Bossy Pants. And just, again, uses humor to describe her home life and career, discussing her training in improv and celebrating her chubby face.
One book that's on that list, I think it's called Very Punchable Faced by Colin Jost. He's a writer for Saturday Night Live. So my husband and I walk our dog, but we always listen to books. We don't talk to each other. Really essential. So I was listening to that one while we were walking, and I was, like, literally laughing out loud, like, guffawing while we were walking.
Person.
And he was like, what is wrong with you? That one is really funny.
And some of the other ones on our list are kind of that same. And to go back, how I come up with these lists is I kind of go out and Google and look up what's the best, like, in 2021 so far, or best ever, or, you know, most checked out. So that's kind of how we came up with this list. So there is, kind of sticking with the authors we've been talking about, The Last Black Unicorn is Tiffany Haddish. And again, she talks about autobiographical essays. And then I Can't Make This Up, Life Lessons, Kevin Hart. Just talking about growing up in North Philadelphia, about his home life and kind of how his journey. And then Trevor Noah, Born a Crime and Other Stories.
That's
and
on my list of ones that I need to read.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It just talks about how he was born to a white Swiss father and a black mother, and at a time that such a union was punishable by 5 years in prison, and just his journey as he grows up, and then trying to find himself in a world where this is his, where he was never supposed to exist. So let's see, what else do I have? Sick in the Head, Conversations About Life and Comedy. That one came up quite a few lists by Judd
Apatow.
So this one actually sounded really good. I added this to my list. So, like, at age 16, he started hosting a radio show for his local high school station. And now, you know, during that radio show, he would call the biggest names in Hollywood and comics, like Jerry Seinfeld, Jay Leno, Steve Allen. They had no idea who they were talking to, that it was a kid in his parents' garage.
Wow.
Interviewing them, and just, like, 30 years later, what he does now and kind of his journey. So It also has interviews with like Mel Brooks, Louis C.K., Amy Schumer in that. So definitely added that one to my list. Dear Girls showed up a lot. Intimate Tales, Untold Secrets, and Advice for Living Your Best Life by Ali Wong. She has her Netflix comedy special, Baby Cobra. So just kind of her journey, too, and about her show.
Baby Cobra, have you guys watched that?
That's a good
Netflix?
One.
She's pretty, you
she's
guys
funny.
Have?
Yeah, no, she's funny. She's good.
Looking through if anybody has any other ones.
Say to go off the Trevor Noah Daily Show one, my other two favorite, there's a Jon Stewart one, and I think it's Naked Pictures of Famous People is the title. And it's a lot of like improv short, like fake short stories and stuff about just like different things. And the other one is Larry Wilmore, and it's I Wish We'd Gotten the Casinos. And it's the same thing. It's like fake transcripts from podcasts that he never did a podcast, but it's just like these fun little like sort of short stories that he does throughout the book. That one's really good. So yeah.
Another one I have is This Anything, Jerry Seinfeld. So, just how the evolution of one of his comedy styles and insights into an unforgiving art of writing stand-up comedy.
I listened to that one, and it's him, and it takes you back to like watching Seinfeld. The show Seinfeld. It was a pretty good book, but a lot of stuff from the show.
And don't you listen to a show. In life, don't you just go through the day and you think, oh, this could be on a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
This whole moment right here. Because it sure can be on a Seinfeld.
I think we say that one.
You guys all
once. Sure, we're not on The Office.
Or on The Office. Oh, yeah, on The Office.
Another one I grabbed was Just Keep Moving and Other Tips and Truths About Aging. It's Dick Van Dyke. And this one was written when he was approaching his 90th birthday. I'm just reflecting on that. And another one I grabbed, I actually found in our catalog, was If at Birth You Don't Succeed, My Adventures with Disaster and Destiny by Zach Anner. He's a comedian and... basically, he starts with how he botched his own birth. He was 2 months early, underweight, and underprepared for life. He entered the world with cerebral palsy and an uncertain future. So how did, this is the quote, how did this hairless mole rat of a boy blossom into a viral internet sensation who hosted 2 travel shows, impressed Oprah, driven the Mars rover, and inspired a John Mayer song? And it wasn't Your Body is a Wonderland, he says.
That sounds good.
Good.
So his mantra is, when life gives you a wheelchair, make lemonade.
What was the name of the author? That's good.
Zach Anner, A-N-N-E-R.
Okay.
So, I thought that one sounded good on my list, too.
Mm-hmm. I have. So this is, goes back, and I don't know if all of you, we have a very young person join us today listening. And Steve Martin, do you know who that is?
Yeah.
And you mentioned Emily, Steve Martin, earlier, but I go back to Steve Martin, and he has written actually a couple of books, and Pure Drivel, and even the name alone is kind of fun, Pure Drivel. And it's kind of neat because he actually has humorous essays where he meets with other people. He's a comedian and screenwriter, Martin. He talks about topics such as memory loss. Now, where am I again? Not saying that we ever have that, but and just the sensitive topic around drug side effects and just the number of movie stars who are secretly Nobel Prize worthy scientists. So a lot of really cool people that he does visit with. And then also another really great book is Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life. So it's always so cool when they talk about as they go through life and they have their challenges and they get through them, and it just kind of shows the real side of them. And he makes it funny, and he's done so many things when he was in, Saturday Night Live. You guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Saturday Night Live. What is it? Rosanna, Dana, Dana?
Mm-hmm. Wild and Crazy Guy.
Wild and Crazy Guy. And he'd have that bow on his head, that crooked bow on his head. And so, yeah, Steve Martin has written a couple of really good books.
Kind of going off the youth angle of things, I remember the first book that I ever remember just enjoying and laughing so much was There's a Monster at the End of This Book. Well, I mean, in one part, it's scary in one way, but it's also kind of bloodline. If you look at it, depending on how you look at it and what kind of kid you are, but just the idea and of having humor books when I was a kid, I thought was so funny. Shel Silverstein poems, Mrs. McTwitter, the babysitter.
Yep, and I have the, what's the one where the snake, 1, 2, he's up to my shoe, 3, 4,
oh, yeah.
The snake's eating him, but I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor. I remember that one.
It's funny though, our kids, when, as the youth services librarian, they want to request books and they want humor. It's a lot of them just love humor and they all have such a sense of humor. Love those. I'm going to have to, Emily, I'm going to have to get with you on some other recommendations for some children's books that you think are good sometime.
Oh, yeah.
So any last thoughts on books?
I'm going to give a plug for the first series I ever completed in Braille was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. I read one of my students at the time when I was teaching technology was grousing about Braille and said, I told him he wanted me to read that book, and I said, I'm going to read the whole series in Braille. and loved it. It was still one of my all-time favorites.
How many volumes? I feel like those are the big book, isn't it?
I don't remember how many volumes. Yeah. A lot of it I read on on my Braille, my Braillite M20 back in the day. very retro now. Yeah, I think most of them I read on there, so I don't know how many volumes, but it was a lot of pages.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Someone told me to read that book, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and so I did. I had no idea it was supposed to be funny, and so I was like, what am I reading? This is like the most bizarre book I've ever read.
Dolphins flying in outer space.
And that's what I remember is thanks for the fish.
Yeah, thanks for all the fish. Yeah. So long now, thanks for all the fish.
I liked it, though.
Did you laugh at all?
I think so, probably.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the part where we transition to our podcast we're going to talk about. And so when I asked Emily if she wanted to join us and be our guest, I'm not sure if this was fair to do to a guest, but I said, okay, then you can pick out the podcast to review. So thank you, Emily, for doing that as our guest.
It was a fun weekend trying to decide which one. I'm like, oh, I have to try this one. What about this one? Because I love podcasts. So.
And the one you picked was, I have the description, so I can read that, is Make My Day. And how they describe it is a pop culture and politics game show where comedians compete to put a positive spin on the news and cheer up the host, Josh Gondelman. And Josh is an optimist at heart, but even he needs some help from his friends to stay upbeat. So if you want to know what's going on in the world without actually reading the news or wading through a cesspool of social media, Make My Day is the show for you. So... and the episode that Emily chose was episode 46, Under the Cheese with Emily Heller, from March 2nd, 2021. So I don't know if you want to say any more about the podcast overall before we delve into episode 46, Emily.
Yeah, so I was having trouble picking out which episode was the best because, so they all... There's so many of them that make me snort and laugh. There's one with Ron Funches on there that was...
Ron Funches.
I love him.
He's an amazing human being.
So there's just... And some of the people that you get... He puts on there are not necessarily comedians. They're, you know, a little bit different walks of life. And it's still just very, very entertaining. And very weird. I love weird and different. And the juxtaposition of things that he tends to... But he's just the nicest, sweetest guy, Josh Gondelman is, and it just so it just brings a smile to my face regardless. And you know that's a podcast. You know, when I'm walking the dog is one of the best ways to unwind at the end of the day. And I'll just be walking down the street snort laughing. I don't know what my neighbors think of that, but.
When I read the description, I was like, oh, I like this game show scoring based on. And then when I listened to it, I have to tell you, I was pondering for a while. So what is the protagonist of a salad? I'm like, what does that mean to me? Who would be that protagonist? salad. And then I started thinking about, so which part of the salad are different characters? Because they went into that whole discussion about the parts of a salad and who is what. So that's kind of what I was just like. It made me think kind of like, so who is the protagonist in a salad? Who would be the protagonist in one of my salads? But... So that was kind of, so I don't know if anybody else has any other thoughts on salads, parts of salads. Arugula?
Arugula. That is right there a fun name to say, arugula. Have you guys eaten arugula?
I love arugula.
I do too.
It's good.
It's spicy.
Just got into it, actually. That's been my summer already, just getting into arugula. Big summer.
And it's funny how in the podcast they would compare... Now, if you were this, what would you be an arugula? Well, I would be friends with an arugula, or, you know, because a little spicy, but yet not, and comparing vegetables being friends, and I thought, I wonder what I would be, and so it was interesting. It was good.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be listening to the show, and I'll... my wife will come into the room and I'll ask her one of the questions from the show, and she'll be so lacking in context. What is the protagonist of a salad? What are you even talking about?
What is that?
I'm like, what?
Because I listened to a couple other ones too. And so the one with Chris Gethard, I don't know if you know Chris Gethard, Emily. He had the Chris Gethard show for a while. But he's a comedian. And they were talking about sandwiches and what's the best leftover sandwich. Wow. And he said he had to paint a picture. So it was half of a meatball sandwich that you got the day before on the Jersey Shore, and it's in a cooler packed with ice in foil.
That sounds good.
Then they got a discussion about cutting sandwiches, if you do it rectangle or triangle. Mm-hmm. And how him and his wife claims that the sandwich tastes worse if it's cut rectangle instead of like a triangle. Like two triangles. Funny.
If I cut my sandwiches triangle at home for the kids, they're like, ooh, it's fancy sandwich. I don't know what that means.
Five-star chef over there cutting them a different way. PB&J cutting the triangles.
Yeah. Grilled cheese, get the triangle.
Yeah, exactly.
Triangle.
Yeah.
Remember that and try it. See if it adds something. I won't get that look of, this is it.
Where's the chips?
So the other discussion they had was the most overrated plant discussion. And Emily Heller was talking about, she said lawn grass. It was
that was funny.
was the most overrated. And I just loved what she said that we should get rid of lawn grass and plant something that a butterfly would want to land on. And I was like, that's so cool.
That is
so I don't know if you guys, because we just did gardening last month, so I was kind of in that. But so do you guys have a most overrated plant?
I see my grass also, trying to get rid of all the weeds out of it all the time.
Because my thing, because I completely understand the argument, because it's literally the plant that I spend the most amount of time
and
on.
And
I don't
literally
even think of it as a plant.
Correct.
It,
yeah.
It is,
like,
I suppose.
The main thing it does is keep my children from being muddy. Like, that's literally all it does.
Your dog.
Like,
your dog.
Besides that, like.
Well, see, I feel like mint is a liar.
Mint?
Yeah.
Mint.
Mint. Everybody says, oh, you can't kill mint. You can't get rid of mint. I can't grow mint.
We've tried as well. We couldn't do it.
What?
Oh, good. Thank you. I've been carrying around the shame for quite some time because I felt like I was only, like everybody else. And I've had terrible mint shame because.
Yeah, and it's taken me years to get rid of our mint out of where I put it.
I don't want
to
make you feel bad, Emily, but my shed burnt to the ground right next to the
and
garden.
The
and the mint's still there.
A piece of mint popped up in the dirt after.
Well, obviously, that's what I was doing wrong. I was not burning a shed
ash.
No, just
no.
Lighting
a
shed.
Light a fire.
Apparently, it requires shed ash.
Yeah,
so,
maybe Tyler can bring you some. Yeah.
Some mint.
I've taken years to try it. So we planted some, and you know how it goes. And then I decided I didn't like it where it was, and it's taken me years to get rid of that. So.
Yeah.
It does not.
It does.
When you
learn how to make mojitos, and then you can use it all up real quick.
Yeah,
that
would be mojitos.
The amount of mint I had, do you have any mojitos?
We should get her the recipe. That's right.
You'd be surprised how delicious they are and how many. How quickly they go
by. How fast they go down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't be able to use mine.
You could, yeah.
So I have one last thing around the podcast I want to do before we end. So is there anything else we wanted to say about this episode or any of the other episodes before I get into my final discussion?
I don't think so.
Is one thing that I always the thing I love about it is the pep talk and just
yes that was
that's
good.
Where yeah. I'm going. Look at the segue.
I like this. See,
I love the random. They're just fun and just make me just smile.
And
so
the
much.
Arbitrary points made me laugh too.
Yeah,
all the points are given out are just way random. And, yeah, that I like that too.
But that's a perfect segue because I thought we should end with the pep talk piece, because I liked how she ended with weeds and water, or they ended with weeds and water, and it was funny, but it did get me thinking about, so what would I give a pep talk to? And to give, maybe to give people other perspective on something that's overlooked or not looked at kindly. So, and then of course I was thinking about books, because mm-hmm. that's what I do. And so, I was thinking along the lines of books, I thought I would give a pep talk to a bookmark. Because let me go into my pep talk. So the bookmark, they are very important, but it's a thankless job. Because there's something that makes me so happy when I find my bookmark and open the book and prepare to start reading, and they can be anything. So we have gum wrappers to ornate and bedazzled artwork. So they can even be electronic. We have electronic bookmarks now. So I would give a pep talk to a bookmark. So I would just tell them to keep up the good work.
No, I will always look at my bookmarks differently. Now.
I will too.
See, I fold. Wow. I'm a fold a page folder. I know that's like a sin.
What's happening?
But it's fold the corner.
You work
of the
in a library.
Down.
You've now been banished from the library.
It's with my own books, not library books.
How many bookmarks you are now going to get?
Yeah. Every occasion. Well, Tyler gets a bookmark.
Tyler. You know, the youth library makes bookmarks, you know.
It's
smiley
true.
Faces on them and put some on your desk.
Can you get him a
I think we need to have a UB library branded bookmark that say, use this, do not fold pages.
Tyler, we're talking to you.
So that was just my pep talk. So I didn't know if anybody had anything off the top of your head you would give a pep talk to. Or for.
You really thought about it. That was good. Yeah, that was really good.
So you came prepared.
Yeah.
Well, I do have the benefit of writing our outline.
I would give my I would give my pep talk to poetry books. Yeah, you're small. You're skinny. Sometimes you get lost. Sometimes you're put in the back section of the bookstore where nobody can find you, and maybe you only get one shelf instead of a whole bunch of other shelves, like other subjects that are less interesting and less useful than poetry. Not that you should be bitter, because you shouldn't be bitter, because you're poetry, and you are enjoyable, and you bring great emotion and life to the world, and you should be proud of that no matter how little space you get in the bookshop or how maybe... you know, small you are. You're portable. You're bite size. You are made for this world. So keep your chin up, poetry.
Wow.
Well done. That was
fantastic.
That was really good. I am impressed.
You can tell I listened to this podcast a lot.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
I've listened to every episode.
It's like your go-to podcast. Yeah,
it's kind of funny how lost you get in podcasts. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, 2 hours have gone by. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Oh, that was really good.
Yep.
Glad we recorded.
I mean, the problem is those two
guys. After that,
can't top either of those.
No,
not even close.
You can give a pep talk to your mitt.
Yeah,
not that it needs it.
It's doing good.
Okay, well, just to wrap up. Thanks everybody for joining me today for our June Library Chat episode. And a huge thank you to Emily for joining us this month. I'm thinking maybe Emily needs to come back when we do poetry.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You will not shut me up on that subject. You think I'm mad about humor books? You will not.
So we'll add that to our list of topics. And just a reminder, if you've missed any of our earlier episodes, the podcast along with the book list is available on our library blog at iowalibrary.blog. And you can also find episodes from our other library podcasts, Library News and Braille Bits, on the library blog as well. So thanks for listening, and we will chat with you next month.